of my soul. For surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among thy troops are the victors, and place me in thy party, for thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among thy friends, for thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee, O patron of beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brother and sister, dear listener, Salamun alaikum. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to on Monday, 7th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Azar, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, and the 9th of December, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. And that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
At this time, we'll listen to verses 38 to 41 of chapter An-Najm.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ألا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى.
That no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another.
وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى.
And that there is not for man except that good for which he strives.
وأن سعيه سوف يرى.
And that his effort is going to be seen.
ثم يجزاه الجزاء الأوفى.
Then he will be recompensed for it with the fullest recompense.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
The Arabic word sa'y designates move fast rather than run, but it often connotates strive, make effort, since up on making efforts, rapid movements are being done, whether the same aim at doing righteous good deeds or otherwise. It could be of interest to note that man reaps the fruits of his efforts rather than fulfillment of something, which connotes that it is of significance to strive and make effort even if one may not attain to his goal. If he intends to do righteous good deeds, God Almighty will grant him his reward, since he seeks good intentions rather than fulfilled tasks.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause
I don't need
anyone or anything in life but you.
The topic of this episode of today's special is about laziness. Islam is a religion that teaches people to be eager to work. This is some proofs that Islam teaches human beings to always be keen on their lives and not being lazy. Islam is a perfect religion. In Islam, all of his problems has been arranged and given solution which contains truth for all human beings. And this teaching will never contradict any novel intention and theories invented by men. Islam, since long ago, has a step forward, and never will it be left behind by men's innovation and advancement forever. Therefore, how does Islam view the phenomenon of laziness of men?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about laziness from an Islamic perspective and the ways to get rid of it. So as to overcome laziness with regard to prayers and salat in general, I just want to give you some suggestions what to do to get rid of this laziness from performing our religious duties. So the first is to break down a task into smaller tasks. We often avoid tasks because we find them too big, too overwhelming, too tiring, or taking too much of our time. Breaking a task into several small tasks can solve this problem. Then each one will not seem so difficult or intimidating. Instead of having one big task, we will have a series of small tasks, which did not require too much effort. So this approach can be applied not only to tasks, but also to goals and everything else we have or need to do. This will tend to melt much of the laziness and inner resistance we often experience. So second suggestion in order to get rid of laziness is to rest, sleep, and exercise. In some cases, laziness is due to being tired and lacking energy. If this is true, in your case, you need to give yourself the rest and sleep you need and also give your body enough exercise and fresh air. The third suggestion is motivation. In some cases, the reason for laziness is due to lack of motivation. You can strengthen your motivation through affirmation, visualization, and thinking about the importance of performing your task or chore or achieving your goal.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Here are some psychological causes of laziness. One of them is needing but not expecting that others will give us recognition. When we apply ourselves to something, it's usually done with some expectation of reward, whether material or emotional, internal or external. If in the past our application and diligence hadn't gotten us the positive feedback we craved, then how realistic is it to think we could yet maintain such diligence going forward? This one is tough to give a tip for, since it involves unlearning an idea that you learned over several years. Focus on the kinds of rewards you can give yourselves. You can give yourself immediately material rewards, I mean. Sometimes, if I'm having a hard time getting to work on something, I'll promise myself an ice cream after completing a task. This helps train my brain to associate getting stuff done with a reward. When I'm thinking, I reach to motivation. What for? To overcome laziness. Yes, in some cases, the reason for laziness is due to lack of motivation. You can strengthen your motivation through affirmation, visualization, and think about the importance of performing your task or chore or achieving your goal. Frequently reflecting on the person we want to be, the goals we want to achieve, and the life we want to live can motivate us to act.
Sheikh Muhammad Halli.
However, today we have a new term. It's called post-pandemic laziness. What do you mean? After COVID-19, there are people who have come forward and said, we have a problem. People are now used to staying at home, working from home, watching majalis from home. And so we have a new challenge out there today, isn't it? It's a study of whether COVID-19 has caused people to be more lazy. Within our own communities, perhaps this is visible and seen. With the availability of live broadcast, I remember pre-COVID, there were many centers who did not have live broadcast. They would not necessarily invest in the mechanism for people to watch live from home. But as a result of COVID-19, the pandemic, they were somehow put in the position that they must provide it. Because otherwise, how will people watch the programs? As many were at home, isn't it? And therefore, today you find many of our centers, Husayniyas, mosques around the world, have live transmission. It's argued that live transmission would tend to encourage people to stay at home for them, for some people. Because they say, why should I come to the mosque? Bother about finding parking. Next day I have school for my kids. I have work for myself. It's argued that the attendance when it comes to majalis throughout the year, as we see it now, is being affected as a result of the pandemic. Perhaps not Muharram, because Muharram has a special place in the hearts of the lovers of Ahl al-Bayt. Perhaps it's the other times of the year that's negatively being impacted. And it's something that needs to be addressed. Because some people say, Molana, what's the difference? I sit at home and I switch on the TV or my computer and I watch the live transmission of the majlis. Why should I come to the mosque? Why? It's easy, one of them would say. In fact, when I'm sitting there, I can have a meal also. Or as some would say, have some popcorn, you know, watching a movie. In the idea that it's become simplified. This is not the way we should look at the majalis of the Ahl al-Bayt, alayhum as-salam. Because Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Has mentioned the famous hadith, Ahyu Amrana, Rahimallahu man Ahya Amrana. Revive our affairs. This revival of the affairs of Ali Muhammad includes participation, the social element of the attendance in majalis. The remembrance of the Ahl al-Bayt in these particular gatherings is not the same as when you're at home watching online.
Dear brother and sister, that was all for this episode of Today's Special. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Inshallah, we continue this topic. I mean, laziness, of course, from the viewpoint of Islam. Fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Take pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. Mm-hmm. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today we have a beautiful quotation from Amir al-Mu'minin, the commander of the faithful, alayhi salam, to his servant Qanbar. Actually, Qanbar was a servant who willingly wanted to serve Imam Ali alayhi salam. He actually loved Imam Ali alayhi salam. So one day, regarding anger, Amir al-Mu'minin said to Qanbar, "Calm down, Qanbar. Let your insulter remain humiliated. By doing so, you please the merciful and anger the devil. Then, you know, and then punishing your enemy." Amir al-Mu'minin actually is teaching Qanbar how to deal with his anger and how to confront his, like, anyone who insults him out of, like, kind of discrimination or something like that. Insult doesn't have any good reason at all. So, "I swear by the one who split the seed and created the soul, no one pleases Allah like forbearance. Nothing pleases Allah like forbearance. And nothing angers Satan like silence. And nothing punishes the fool like ignoring him, to remain silent and as if you have heard nothing, and it doesn't matter for you. And you don't lose your cool, because anyone who insults you wants to, like, to see you triggered by that, and wants you to lose something. What is that something? That is your cool. That is like your decency, and somehow your kind of calmness. It doesn't want you to remain like that. If you remain like that, you have beaten your enemy. So there are many ways to deal with anger, how to control our anger. For example, some fathers, some mothers, they cannot control their anger when their children make mistakes, or we cannot control ourselves when anyone makes mistakes. So how can we control ourselves, hold it in, and just keep calm and act in an appropriate way? There are many suggestions. Breathe, take deep breaths, count from 1 to 10 or more, and you don't refrain from making any, like, prompt decision. Or, for example, look at nice people, patient people. That would affect you. You would like that, and that would affect you in a good way. And remember that everyone makes mistakes. That is probable. That is something ordinary, normal. And you should await that. You should expect that to happen. If you expect that to happen, when it happens, you keep cool, because you expected it. It's not unexpected. So remember that you also will make mistakes, and others have to be patient, for you. And do not act immediately. Distract yourself. And in some narrations, they say, Ma'sumin alayhi salam say, make wuzu, and inshallah, remember God at that moment. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Qur'an Kareem. Inshallah, today we will be practicing Ayah 38 of Surah Yunus on page 213. Hassan, are you ready to listen to the recitation of this ayah?
Yes.
Hussein, Masoom?
Yes, sir.
All together, brothers and sisters, dear listeners as well, together we'll go and listen to this recitation. Let's go.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Am yaquluna aftara. Qul fa'tu bisuratin mithlihi wad'u man istata'tum min dunillahi in kuntum sadiqin.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Such a beautiful ayah. You remember last session I told you that we will be talking about the Quran? Let's call this ayah a Quranic challenge. A Quranic
challenge
that no one has been able to accept this challenge. Even if they have accepted this challenge, they have never been able to really challenge the Quran. Okay?
Yeah.
And they will never be able to challenge the Quran. No one can do it. This is a fact. Okay? All the enemies of the Quran, all the enemies of Islam should know this, that we are saying to them, look, we don't know how much they are able to. We don't care about it. We tell them, hey, you can't do it. Let's see what this Quranic challenge is. Okay? Allah Almighty says in Ayah 38 of Surah Yunus on page 213 and also in many other parts of the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah also we have this. Okay? In Surah Al-Baqarah also we have this. Allah Almighty says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم يقولون افتراه قل فأتوا بسورة مثله وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Such a beautiful ayah. Do they say he has fabricated it? قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ. Actually, in another part of the Quran, it's also in Surah Al-Baqarah. فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So here, وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Okay. Let's translate it again. Do they say he has fabricated it? Then Allah says, O Prophet, say to them, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ. Say, then bring a surah like it. Bring a surah, a single surah. You don't need to, for example, bring a Qur'an and a book just the same size as the Qur'an. Those many surahs. No. Just bring one surah. Such a complete ayah, such a beautiful ayah, such a meaningful ayah. Okay, in terms of, we call it balagha. Okay, in terms of balagha, it has the best possible terms, each ayah of the Qur'an. The best possible terms. Because simple texts are way different from the Qur'an. You can't say they are equal, okay? So, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِن مِثْلِهِ. So, guys, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more about this ayah, so beautiful ayah. Let's move on and practice the tajweed points here in this surah. Hussein, would you please recite this ayah?
Yes,
and inshallah, yeah, we'll practice it. So, brothers and sisters, all together, let's listen to Hussein reciting this ayah. Yeah, you may start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Such a beautiful ayah.
أم يقولون افتراه.
Wow, nice vibration. افتراه. Such a beautiful vibration. MashaAllah. This is called tahrir, right?
Yes.
Recitation tahrir. Nice one. Do you know how this vibration happens?
No. In throat, you play with your voice.
Somehow. Yeah, but how you do it? Like, for example, these are the vibrations exactly. Then you put them together, it becomes a vibration.
With a speed, then it will.
Yeah, you. For example, there are so much like split voices. Okay, separate voices, and when you put them together, one is, for example, if you come like think of a voice level, if we have okay, for example. Level, for example, 2. Level 3. Level 4. Then, level 2 back. So now, join them. Combine them, it becomes, look. Mm-hmm. This becomes vibration. Tahrir. And sometimes in recitations, this becomes so quick with speed. Happen, like this. إليكم. Look. But when you join them, quickly you vibrate. This happens. Sometimes the vibrations are short, sometimes they are long. Okay? Such a beautiful point. MashaAllah. Hussein, read it one more time. أم يقولون افتراه.
أم يقولون افتراه.
أحسنتم. One of the key points in recitation, Hassan, do you want to be a reciter?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So if you want to be a reciter, one of the very important points that you should remember is this. That of course, first, because you don't know a lot about the nagamat, the maqamat in recitation, you have to follow a reciter. You should perform taqlid. For example, choose Sheikh Minshawi, follow his recitations. Copy him, imitate his recitations. Or Sheikh Shahat, Abdul Basit, Ismail, Mustafa Ismail, whomever you want, okay? Yeah, follow his recitations, listen to his recitations. Listening to the recitation is important. How much you listen to a recitation is very important. How you listen to a recitation is also important. Okay?
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
Sometimes you put on your earphones, you play the recitation, you just listen and you walk. No. This is not the correct way of listening. You might think like, I can do it wherever. No, this is not the correct way. The correct way is to, for example, yeah, go perform wudu, come sit, have your Quran in front of you, play the recitation, increase the volume to the highest level, okay? Put your phone over there, as if the reciter is sitting there, is there, okay? Reciting live, okay? And you're here sitting, and you're looking at the reciter, for example, listening to him. So the voice should come all over your head, all over the room. It should echo. Got it? That is the correct way of recitation. Then, when you listen to the reciter, listen to every single vibration that he uses, that he makes. Listen to every single emphasizes that he has on any word. ذلك الكتاب. Look, this kitab, he emphasizes on the tab. You should find these things. Okay? How he starts, how he ends. Where does he make a pause? Okay? Does he start with an emphasize? Does he start with a raising voice or with a falling voice? Does he end with a raising voice or with a falling voice? These are very important. Got it? So one of the key points here in recitation is that you should be able to find the vibrations. If you are able to find the vibrations in a recitation, then that recitation will be very easy for you to perform and copy. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So, Hussein, go on. Now, Hussein recites the way he himself recites. It's his recitation, okay? So, if I ask him to read 5 times this ayah, or if I ask him to use this voice that he uses here in Am Yaquluna Iftara, in another ayah, he might not be able to do that. Because he's not professional at doing that yet. Okay? But if he follows or copies a reciter, okay, wherever I ask him, he can use it. Mm-hmm. That melody, that rhythm.
Yes.
That voice. Okay? Because he will be professional at that. So, remember that if you want to be a reciter, the first important point is to follow, to copy another reciter's. Then when you become professional, then inshallah you can own yourself, you can originate your own style of recitation, melodies, whatever. Got it? So go on. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى قُلْ فَأَتُوا
قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِصُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
أحسنتُ. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. Good job. So, قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِصُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ. حسن, how do you read? بِسُو قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِصُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ. How do you read it? بِسُو
بصورة مثلي.
أحسنتم. إضغام. The way Hussein just did. مثله وادعوا من استطعتم. Again, إضغام. من دون الله. What rule is this? من
إخفاء.
إخفاء. أحسنتم. إخفاء. Nice pronunciation. إن كنتم. Again, إخفاء. صادقين. Make sure it has a heavy sound. صادقين. So, I will recite this ayah. Make sure you repeat after me. Ready, everyone? Brothers and sisters, listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The way I want to recite is also my recitation, okay? I'm not copying anybody else. So, I might not be that professional, okay? So, do you want me to recite the way Minshawi recites?
Yes.
Let's copy Minshawi.
Yes,
his recitation is much easier. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أم يقولون افتراه
أم يقولون افتراه
قل فأتوا بسورة مثله وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله
قل فأتوا بسورة مثله وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله
وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين
وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم Thank you so much guys Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Stay with IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, next sessions will continue towards the next verses of Surah Yunus. Beautiful verses. Stay with us, inshallah. Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Sevier International Schools for cooperations. Wassalamu alaykum. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
On that morn, before the world was born, in this lonely world I hear that music near and far. Did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence of divine
music? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the prophets, Muhammad, and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua, and I am Abdul Raza Bahrani. Inshallah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of the dua which is recited after Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now let's listen to some passages of this ziyarat.
Supplication following the ziyarat of al-Yasin.
Allahumma inni as'aluka an tusalli ala Muhammadin nabi rahmatin wa kalimati nuri.
O Allah, I beseech you to send blessings upon Muhammad and the Prophet of your mercy and the word of your light.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an adahum ajma'in.
In the previous session, we started to interpret and explain the dua which pursues Ziyarat al-Yasin. We start this dua with sending peace and blessings upon the Holy Prophet. And of course, not only we ourselves send our peace and blessings on the Holy Prophet, we ask Allah the Almighty to send His peace and blessings and salutations on the Holy Prophet, who is the Prophet of mercy and the Word of light. He is the Prophet of mercy. Through the Holy Prophet, we receive God's mercy. And through the Holy Prophet, we can be forgiven by Allah. We can receive the blessings and the mercy and favors of God the Almighty. As Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you to the people except as a mercy for the whole worlds. And the Holy Prophet is not only mercy for his nation, he is not only mercy for his ummah, he is mercy for all, not only for the humans, he is mercy for animals, for the other things, all the creatures of God, and He is mercy for the angels and mercy for the jinn. So He is rahmatan lil alameen. And unfortunately, we see that many Orientalists and many of non-Muslim historians and thinkers, they try to say that the Holy Prophet was not a merciful person. And you know, the religion of Islam spread in the world by the use of force and swords. But if truly we study the history of Islam and the actions of the Holy Prophet, we find that the Holy Prophet was a mercy for all the people. Those people who tortured the Holy Prophet and his followers, those people who waged wars against the Holy Prophet at a couple of times, in myriad of times, they attacked Muslims and the Holy Prophet in Medina and outside Medina. They killed many of the Muslims. They insulted the Holy Prophet. They insulted God the Almighty and the beliefs of the Holy Prophet. But when the Holy Prophet got power over them in the city of Mecca, when he conquered the city of Mecca and he entered that city victoriously and vigorously, and he was surrounded with faithful believers and Muslims, at that time, one of the important figures of Medina, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, when he passed in front of Abu Sufyan, raised his voice and said, Al-Yawm Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of vengeance. But the Holy Prophet, when heard this saying, he said, no, la al-yawm yawmul marhama. Today is the day of mercy. Today is the day of forgiveness. And he forgave all the people who wronged the Holy Prophet, who oppressed him and his followers and companions, those who tortured him and his companions, those people who threw stones at him. But he forgave all of them and said that today is Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of forgiveness.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief? Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayhi, addressing the Shias, says, pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed, and heartbroken due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, or the afflictions, the problems, and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
Allahumma kun li waliyika hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا
The Ocean of Dua, commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
When he wanted to talk to the people of Mecca, who was conquered, after offering the prayer, he started talking to the people and said, what do you think that I should do to you now, and what do you think that I am going to do? They all said, we know that you are a Kareem. You know that you are a man of dignity. You are a man of generosity and forgiveness and mercy. So you see, even his enemies, his foes, they knew that the Holy Prophet was a prophet of mercy, and the Holy Prophet forgave all of those people except 12 that they were, and they had the harshest behavior towards Islam and the Holy Prophet and Muslims. They were not forgiven at first, but later again, 6 of these 12 were forgiven by the Holy Prophet, and only 6 of them, they were killed. And of course, they were killed at battles. They again fought against Muslims, and because of that, they were killed. So this is how the religion of Islam spread, this with the mercy, with forgiveness, not with fighting and with sword and force. But unfortunately, those enemies of Islam who tried to propagate Islamophobia throughout the world, they say that the religion of Islam is a religion of fighting is a religion of violence, war, and killings. But if they study the life of the Holy Prophet, they find that the Holy Prophet was the most merciful man. That is why here we call the Holy Prophet as Nabi al-Rahma wa Kalimat al-Nur. And we know that the Holy Prophet is a light. And His Eminence mentioned and said, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي. The first thing that God the Almighty created was my light. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
And every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Ahmad Danish is over here in the studio to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
All right, Shaykh. A very major question. Is Allah's will at work in the oppressions that are taking place in Gaza?
Right.
Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent, is all-powerful, all-willing, okay? So is His will at work at all the incidents, I mean the sad incidents that are taking place in Gaza?
True. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And so this is a deep question, as you understand.
Yes.
And so many scholars have spoken about this question. And in the West, it is known as the problem of evil, right? And so the problem of evil says that,
yes,
if God exists, how is it possible that so much evil that is seen in this world,
yes,
is also existing? Or, for example, how is it possible that so many thousands of people are killed in wars, for example, in,
yes,
in the Second World War, as we know,
yeah,
that America dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah.
And in just one of those, 80,000 people, the innocent people, yeah, for example, women,
were
children, were killed.
Yes.
And so how can God allow, for example, such atrocities to be committed by human beings? And so this question basically is known as the problem of evil. And in the modern world also, all these atrocities committed, violence committed, Gaza is one example of it. that a people are, or for example,